Tomahawk. I'm Mike. I got my line mate Matt with me, and today we're going to go over Eddie O leaving the Blackhawks. We're going to go over some NHL news. Notably, I want to talk about the Matthew Tkachuk. Calgary Flames filed for club elected salary arbitration. What that means, I think that's pretty interesting. And but you know, number one, man, I want to thank our fans for listening to us. Thanks for listening to us during the dog days of summer. You know, it's still a good time for hockey, I guess. You know, as things are starting to, the dust has settled from the old season. Teams are looking to shake up the rosters and get ready for next season. So here we go. Notably, Chicago Blackhawks, Eddie Olczyk has moved on, going to the Seattle Kraken. He's been with the Blackhawks for 16 years. Actually got drafted by the Blackhawks. I believe that was 1986. Number three overall pick. He's a Blackhawk through and through, man. And he's moving on to Seattle. Matt, a lot of people are blindsided by this. No, but including the Chicago Blackhawks. They thought that they had an offer. I mean, they put an offer through. They thought that, you know, everything was good to go. They're just waiting for him to sign it. And then out of nowhere, you know, this kind of gets dropped today. So what do you think, Matt?
Well, when I first saw it, I was, you know, everyone was surprised. But then when you really sit down and think about it, I'm really not surprised. I mean, why would he want to be here for a kind of like a slower rebuild? I mean, it doesn't really affect him as a color analyst, but I think he lost his buddy, man. He lost his best friend in the booth. It won't be the same. And I think that he wanted some more term, and I think he's getting that in Seattle. John Forslund is the head play-by-play guy there, and he's a good voice for hockey, man. I enjoy his broadcasts when he was with the Hurricanes for many years. And yeah, it's sad to see Eddie go, but I think deep down Eddie was hurt. He wasn't given that, you know, presidential kind of role or upper management role to make some hockey decisions. And you know what? Like, he put his time in. You know, Dale Talon went through the same process. He started off as a color analyst, and he worked his way to a head scout, then he worked his way to the GM, and you know, he ended up building a dynasty for the Hawks. And I think it would only be fair Eddie should get that opportunity, but it seems like maybe it was a dead end here in Chicago, and he, you know what, maybe it's time to move on and try to pursue other things.
In all respect to Eddie O, I want to say that, you know, him and Pat Foley in the booth, man, you know, they were, you know, yin and yang up there. You know, I thought that they were incredible together. Very like-minded humor between the two. You could tell that these guys deeply respect each other. You could tell that they had a great time together, having fun calling games in the booth. I'll miss that forever. I think that this is a good time for Eddie O to walk away. Pat Foley retires, you know, and, you know, Eddie, he got an opportunity. You know, the Blackhawks gave him a contract offer. You know, in his original contract, he signed on to call 82 games. A lot of people, I don't know if you guys know this, the Blackhawks pay him for 82 games. He doesn't call 82 games for the Blackhawks because he goes off and does his TNT thing. So, you know, that's one thing. I know the Blackhawks wanted him for 82. I think it's a good time for a new start for this squad. You know, they're looking to kind of leave, you know, what is old in the past. And I think that they really need to do that. They're looking to have a fresh start this coming season. They're not going to have Eddie O and Pat Foley, you know, looming over them in the booth, if you know what I mean. Having Eddie there, and it's like, oh, well, we got this one new guy there. Now they're going to have two new guys, and you know, the fans are going to have to get behind that. And if they don't want to get behind it, then fine. You know, then go and watch Nashville or something.
Better be Roenick.
Yeah, we need to trim a little fat on this fan base. Anyways, there's a lot of people bitching about everything, dude. And you know what? I don't think a lot of people have, you know, too much to really bitch about. We got three Stanley Cups in 5 years at one time. You know, that stuff doesn't last forever. And I think everybody thought that it was going to last forever. So if we lose some, you know, some of the fan base, I'm all for it, because that might, you know, trim some of the fat and bring some of these ticket prices down to something reasonable. Because, you know, they were incredible for a while, man. I couldn't get any seats under $90, which is incredible. Matt, what were you getting them for when you had season tickets?
I think I remember giving you guys some, you and Kimmy. And you know what? When I first got them, it was 06. I got a 21 game plan, me and my buddy Joe. And it was cheap, man. It was like $200-something.
Wow.
And then the next year you were like, you know what? This team it's Dale, you know, we brought in Marty Havlett. He was an exciting, explosive player. And we're like, you know what? Let's get behind this guy, you know? So we got 41 games. I think I paid $475 for every home game. And then, you know, it kept going up a little bit each time. And 2010, I think they were obviously picked to be a Stanley Cup contender and a favorite, and then they went up to about 700. But then it just kept going up and up and up and up, and a couple kids later, you can't even, you know, I can't be doing that. So
me and my cousin paid, I think, $5,000 in 2013. Yeah, or it might have been 2015. We paid $5,000 for two seats.
What level?
300, I think.
Oh, jeez.
So it was insane.
So they froze ticket prices 2011. So I was paying the same thing. I made enough money through the playoff, my playoff games that I sold. And I paid for the next season with pretty much one game with Philly and one game with San Jose. I banked. And then 2012, it was just... it got too hard for me. I think I sold 30 games, and I was going to pay for the next season, and I just started having too many kids, and it was tough. So I sold my share, like my seat, to this guy for like $1,000, and I said, hey, it's all yours, man. You do what you got to do. I'll just say, hey, this guy's buying it, and put it under his name, and that's what we did. And so that was my going away gift, I guess. But I kind of regret it now, you thinking about it, because 2013 was that, you know, it was a lockout year, but, you know, Ray Emery was an exciting goalie that year with Crawford. And, you know, I would have liked to go to a couple of those games. And I think I only made it to the Red Wing game 7 where Seabrook, you know, scored that OT. That was my only game that year. And it was a great time, man. Oh, man. It was a great time.
That's incredible. Yeah. So ticket prices are, you know, maybe they'll come down a little bit.
Yeah. Like you said, trim the fat. Make it fun. Get rid of the bandwagons.
Yeah. They spend money too, but, you know, it's just a little different though. Do you know what I mean?
You know what, man? When it was rough, I know you went to a couple games in your college days. You know what, though? You were with hockey people.
Right.
You were with people that knew the game. Even if it was the opposing team, there were Red Wings fans there. They knew hockey. They knew a good hockey play when they saw one. They would cheer, you know. But it's some guys, literally just, they go take their pictures and, oh, look it, I was here. I'm at the Hawks game. That's the worst. Just put your phone down, enjoy the game. And you got people yelling, why would you ice it? Why are you icing it? Well, do you see the little timer up there? That's called a penalty. We're shorthanded. We're trying to kill that, actually. That's why we're icing it.
It's usually the guy with his polo tucked into his jeans.
Yeah, and the tag still hanging off his Taves jersey. So those were the worst. Just people, like, I get it, you're new. I had a guy literally turn around and ask me, since when has there been four referees? I'm like, what? I'm like, there's been four referees since like the 05 lockout. That's what they wanted to help, you know. There was only one main ref and two linesmen,
right?
They wanted to get a ref in the back to, you know, call that, you know, a one guy can't see
everything.
If you it's impossible. He's like, I didn't know that. And then he turns around in the same sentence. So is Steve Sullivan still number 26? I'm like, Steve Sullivan's on the Predators, bro. Like, where? He's like, oh, I've been away for a long time. I'm like, yeah, I see that. But good for you for coming back. But yeah, geez, I wouldn't say stuff like that, man, especially in front of a good looking chick. Like, you look like a moron. So get rid of those guys. Bring back the old school guys. And kind of jumping over. Big
enough, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, it was 300 level. He was probably, you know, but whatever. But going back to Eddie O, if they're going to bring in a guy that reaches to the audience level of our age, like 30s to 40, bring back Roenick, bring back Tony Amani, bring, like, I hate to say this,
but Amani might not be listenable, man.
What about Chelios? I mean, I can't stand him, but he's really good on ESPN right now.
Yeah.
He's a big name. He'll get that millennial type kid.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people like you who hate him.
Yeah, but he knows his stuff. Yeah, I respect him. Like, I think he's too dark and red, and he's a Red Wing, but he knows his stuff. He's an old school dude. He's tough. He's like, hey, they got to get tougher if they want to beat these guys. You know, even Stu Grimson, man. I loved his analyst, his game stuff in the intermission.
I would love for them to reach out to him.
He was the only one to like bring up a clip saying, I don't know what the Hawks were thinking on this. They're all over the place.
He's and great, then, man.
You learn from these guys. Like Steve Conroy, oh yeah, he made a nice play. He shot it top shelf. Thanks, Steve. We didn't see that. Like, I like a guy who teaches you. And Olchek did that too.
Yeah,
Olchek would, you know, stop it right here. That was his thing.
Yeah.
And he'd show you, like, look at this, you
over
young
here, all you little young mice
I like
out there.
That. Yeah. I like that because not everybody knows hockey.
Right.
And he really showed people, like, hey, did you see this little play right there? He'd go and they'd freeze it. Stop it right there. And he'd show the stick lifting up another stick. That is a underrated play right there. This is what wins you games. I love that stuff.
He had good ones, and he talked about positioning.
Yeah.
When he would talk about saying, like, hey, do you see how this guy pinches up here? This is your responsibility to see him doing that and move over to his position so that he can do something like that, so you don't create a odd man break. Those are big things, man. I'll tell my kid, I'm like, you see what he just said? He's like, yeah, you're right. So, I'd love to have Stu Grimson. I think that he's
good.
I think he's great, man.
Well-spoken.
He's a very well-spoken guy. He knows he's a great analyst. He's a great analyst. You know what? I think I'm going to reach out to the Blackhawks and see if I can facilitate this in some way.
But I think you should do JR. I think we just need a guy with a non, you know, doesn't give a shit.
I don't know, man. I love it.
I mean, I do.
I love JR. You know, he's my favorite Blackhawk of all time. But I think that I'd rather have Stu in there. I just think that he calls a really great game.
He does, but I think you're bringing in a star like that.
Sure.
You're gonna get people interested. Like, hey, you know what? I want to listen to what Roenick's got to say.
Yeah.
You know, but sure. The Hawks are good. I know they're never gonna do it because Roenick's got history of pissing people off and saying some controversial things. But hey, that would keep me very interested in watching a Hawks game.
Yeah.
Considering the product on the ice. At least I can listen to Jeremy Roenick, and you were joking about Tony Amani. He'd be a little too Boston-ish. Yeah, I can't even talk like that. Yeah. Can't do it. It's impossible.
Rolling those eyes.
But he was a good Blackhawk.
Might be a little too hard.
But I think he was an analyst for the Boston like Comcast station. You know, I remember him calling out Marian Hossa during that final. Was that 2013? And he's like, Marian Hossa's got to suck it up, and he's got to play. I think Host was sick one game or whatever. He's like, this is the Stanley Cup. He goes, I never got that chance to compete for there. And I would play if I was blah, blah, blah. And it really pissed Host off. And, you know, I don't blame him. Host is a freaking legend, you know. But I remember Host saying, I don't care what Tony Amante say, you know. but I mean, I like Tony, you know, number 10. Him and Sharpie will be the number 10s of the Blackhawks for history. Yeah. But it would be interesting, man, bringing back a guy like that and getting an audience like in our level, you know?
Yeah, I got you. So, big news today. which is an interesting move out of Calgary. Matthew Tkachuk is 24 years old forward, son of Keith Tkachuk, had a career highs this past year, 42 goals, 62 assists, 104 points in 82 games, played every single game. And he was fourth in a plus minus. He was a plus 57 this year, which is, that's really impressive. And he also had 10 points, 4 goals, and 6 assists in 12 games in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So he shows up in the playoffs as well, which is huge. The Calgary Flames have filed for a club elective salary arbitration with Matthew Tkachuk. By doing that, they keep Tkachuk a restricted free agent who's unable to receive an offer sheet from another team. So I think Calgary's trying to hold on to whatever they can out there, because losing Goudreau is huge. I will guarantee you that Matthew Tkachuk doesn't score anywhere near 100 points next year. What do you think?
Whew, it's a good take. He lost a very good playmaker in Johnny Hockey. Patrick Kane light type of player.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to hit that mark either, unless they, you know, bring in a guy like maybe say Kadri to fill in that spot. But you never know who's going to come in. I personally don't think Tkachuk wants to be there anymore. He's been giving these guys trouble with re-signing, you know, a couple times.
That's like their thing, though. Tkachuk thing, though.
It is. He will hold out. I think he would sit half the season if he had to. And it wouldn't be worth it. I know the Blues are obsessed with this guy. If the Blues can give him a great offer, I would definitely pull the trigger on it. But if they lose Tkachuk, that city is going to be up in flames.
I agree. What are they going to do? Do you think that this team makes it to the playoffs next year?
If they lose Tkachuk and they've already lost Johnny Hockey, no way. That's 200 points, right? 100 points a man. That's a lot of production.
That's 120 points, I believe. No, I'm sorry. 220 points.
How many goals is that? That's got to be 80 goals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot 80 to make goals up.
And like 100 and wait, yeah, like a
that's a lot to make up. That's a lot to ask from your bottom six guys that are stepping in. That's a lot. I mean, if you're going to be an analytics dude, numbers man, you ain't going to make that up. Losing those two guys, that's you're going to ask a lot for Jacob Markstrom, who's a very good goalie, but he's going to have a lot of trouble this year.
Yeah, man. I'll be honest with you. We might be looking at a flash in the pan here at the Flames, because they might be a one-and-done playoff team here.
Yeah, it's a shame. I thought Matthew Tkachuk was like a huge difference maker in that series, man. He was it was against the Oilers, right? The first game, it was all like the Matthew Tkachuk show. Like, hey, I'm going to be a pest. I'm going to score. I'm going to fight.
Right.
And I don't know what happened. He stopped doing it, and the Oilers won. I didn't get that one.
Well, obviously, you know that we were, at least I was predicting Calgary to come out of that one.
Me too, yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know, man. I think that he's a great player. I think that he has to have a talented player with him for him to see his top potential, though. And I don't think that they have that anymore.
Yeah, you lost a huge piece in that dynasty that never will be.
Yeah, that's too bad. So what else do you got, man?
Well, since we're on the Flames topic, that seems to be like the hot topic around, you know, the hockey world. Is Johnny Gaudreau, like, was it right for him to do what he did? Or is Johnny Hockey... do you think it was okay, or do you think that he really screwed over the Flames?
I don't know what he's looking to do, because it doesn't look like he's looking to win a Stanley Cup. That's 100%. I'm 100% yes. Positive on that.
I agree with you on that,
because this team was primed, ready to go. They maybe needed one or two more pieces, or maybe not run into Connor McDavid playing in NHL 22 mode, you know?
Yeah.
But, it's definitely not for the money. It can't be for the money, because I believe
He turned down more.
The New Jersey was offering him, I think, $10.5 million a year.
The Flames offered him more too.
That's pretty close to Philadelphia, New Jersey. It's closer to Philadelphia than Calgary is.
Yeah, I'm not sure how the taxes are in Canada. I know it's a different world up there, but I know the Flames offered more than Columbus. And he, you know what? There was reports he wants to be closer to home on the East Coast, and it shocked everybody. Like, Columbus? Like, why? What for? Like, was it the money? And you see the numbers, and it, what, $68 million? It's not that much, but it surprised everybody. I know our buddies Mitts and Twigs. That guy's got to be, you know,
biting his nails.
I think he's in a padded cell right now. I mean, it's gotta be tough. That's like, you know, Patrick Kane in his prime leaving, saying, I want to go play in Buffalo, and signing, you know, with like the Devils or a team like the Hurricanes or something. It's like, what? That's nowhere near Buffalo. What's up with that? You know? And right. That's gotta hurt, dude. That's gotta hurt a lot of kids, you know, with big Johnny hockey fans, and it's tough, man. But I don't know. He deserves it. Honestly, he could. He's done his part. He's played 10 years there. He's earned his UFA status to do what he wants to do. The only thing I don't like is if you know in your heart you're not going to come back, give the team a chance. Like, it's the same thing that Tavares did with the Leafs. Like, oh, you're going to, yeah, I think I'm going to sign with Long Island. And it kept going on and on and on and on. And he ends up going to Toronto, and the Islanders got nothing for him. And it's the same with the Flames. Like, you could have got a first round pick, maybe a prospect, just to, you know, give some of the fans hope. Now they lose him for nothing. And now there's reports that the Blues are going all out for Tkachuk. So I just can't imagine how it would be to be a Flames fan right now.
Really weird. You would think they would have these two guys locked up. No question, you know?
You might have to overpay to lock them up just to, you know what I mean? But it's weird. Johnny Hockey and Columbus, that was probably, no one saw that coming. No one, not any expert or anybody. All these rumor dudes, they didn't get that right at all. I mean, good for Columbus. You know, they made a big splash. Like, hey, we never get that big fish, and they got him. And you look at the roster. They got Patrick Laine, who's a restricted free agent. If anything, if I'm Patrick Laine and you just brought in Johnny Hockey, it's like, man, I you know what? I've been scoring some goals here without a good player, like an elite type of playmaker. Now they got me one. So if I'm Patrick Laine, I'm signing long term too. So this is just good for the franchise of the Blue Jackets, man. That was a ballsy move by Yarmo, and good for him, man. Hopefully they can lock up Laine. This team's gonna be good. They're gonna be a solid team. They're like kind of right in the middle, but I could see him sneaking in for a wild card spot this season.
Right, right. So what else do you got, man?
Well, that was just a good take. Slow day. It's a slow day, man. Slow summer. We're still waiting on Kadri. I thought honestly he would have been signed by someone by now. But you know what? I could see the Flames trying to get this guy, but when I read an article from a while ago when the Maple Leafs traded him, the Flames offered something to get him and he shut it down. So maybe he doesn't want to play there. But I'm going to be surprised. It could be a random team. Watch Seattle make a pitch and get, what's his name? Kadri. But, you know, we'll see. This is the big fish now that's out there. And I just can't believe how long it's been going on.
Dude, he needed a super team like Colorado to produce the way that he did.
No doubt about it. He was a difference maker. I've never been a fan of him. You know, I think he's dirty. I think he was, you know, obviously, you don't want to see a guy getting racist death threats on the internet from these, you know, losers that probably don't leave their basement. But, you know, don't pin him out to be an angel. He's not that type of guy. He's an agitator. He's a Brad Marchand type of guy. He will cross-check you in the back of the head if he could. I honestly think he ran Binnington on purpose. you know, because he it's just a player he is. He's a good player, but he's no angel. So it, you got to take a risk on this guy. There's a chance he's going to be suspended because he does stupid things. I think Sakic did a great job of kind of controlling him. Like, hey, we're going for it this year. We need you. Don't be an idiot. And you know what? He did a good job. And, you know, he got his cup and everything. So I think he's going to want to get paid. You know, I'm going to call it out. I think the Islanders are like one of the only teams that didn't make a splash. I could see Big Lou making a big move for this dude.
Interesting, man. I just don't see it. You know, I wouldn't pay anything for him.
They need a splash.
Yeah, that's true. But is he it?
No, I don't think he's it. I was a little like, you know what? Me and you, when we were doing that other podcast, we were both of us. I think we picked the Islanders to win this year, and they're a good team still. They had that weird start of the season. I think they were what, 10 games, 12 games on the road. That's not fair, man. I mean, it was tough for them. I think they finished like 2 games under .500, but man, they were picked to win the cup. And, you know, they're on the road. The stadium wasn't ready. That's just a crappy situation for them. I like to see them with a fair kind of start like the other NHL teams. Right. I think they can make some noise.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Everybody, thank you for listening. We're very appreciative. Do us a favor. Check us out on Twitter on Wednesdays. I think we're going to do Wednesdays or Thursday nights. Or we'll do it Wednesday and maybe try to release it Thursday as a podcast of some sort. We're going to be doing like a Twitter space where everybody can get on. We could talk some hockey. You could tell us, you know, your ideas, what you think's going on with free agency, with the draft, Eddie O leaving. You know, let us know. Find us on Twitter, Shy Tomahawk, and get on a Twitter space with us. What do you think, Matt? 7:30 Wednesday?
7:38-ish. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be on there. Jump on, and we'd love to talk to you. But that's all we got for you tonight. This is the Tomahawk. We're out of here.